to the living Word. And I think because of the number of verses, I don't think I'll have you turn to them, because I would like to get through. I didn't even finish the first section last week. And there's several verses that I think we need to look at that really show the importance of making this comparison and how, I almost hate to use a word, but how important God considers His Word, especially when you compare it to, it's almost like when His Word speaks that, and this is true, that He is speaking, and that the Word is capable of doing the same thing that God can do. And that's just beyond my comprehension. But, well, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll try to get this finished up this week. So, our Father, we thank You for another day that You've given us, another opportunity to come and meet together to look into Your Word. We pray, Father, that You might bless our time together, that You bless in the study of Your Word, that You be with each teacher this morning, and Lord, as Your Word is taught, that it might be effective in the hearts of each one that's present. We'd ask Your blessing upon our pastor as he comes this morning and opens the Word, Lord, that You bless him, that You give him the words that we need to hear. We pray, Father, that in all things that You might be honored and glorified in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Okay, let's start with this one. This one almost goes without saying, but that the Lord has great power. In 2 Kings 17, it says, "But the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, Him shall you fear and Him shall you worship, and to Him shall you do sacrifice." In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints of the marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The Bible says in Genesis chapter 21, verse 33, that it says that Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. God is everlasting. I want to need this one. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, it says that that the Word is everlasting. In 1 Peter 1, verse 25, it says that the Word of the Lord endureth forever. This is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And back in Isaiah 59, it says that something very similar. Isaiah 59, verse 21. It says, "As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever." And in Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, it says the words of the Lord are pure words of silver tried in the furnace of fire or furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3 and 4, it says, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. The Bible says that God is the God of all comfort. In Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, it says, Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. That's not the right verse. Wrong page. Romans chapter 15, where it talks about the first verse that I read there was that God comforts. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have new hope. In Matthew chapter 4, it talks about Jesus preaching. And we know he did, no question about that. It says, from that time Jesus began to preach. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8, and the Scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. And that verse in particular has always puzzled me. I mean, I know it's true. I don't have any problem with that. But the preaching is, I don't even know the word to use. Preaching is an activity. It's something that has to be done. Jesus did that physically. And the Bible says that the Scriptures preached to Abraham. I don't get that. Like I said, I know it's true. I don't know all the details, but I do know it's true. And that's why sometimes that's why I wanted to do this. Look at these verses because sometimes we just absolutely cannot separate the written word and the living word. We just can't do it, and that's as it should be. Really, I mean, I remember one time telling a Jehovah's Witness something that I think applies in this respect, talking about spiritual matters. And he had to try to explain everything. And I said, you know what? If your God is capable of being explained by humans, he's not much of a God. And that should give us some comfort in the fact that because our God is a God of mystery, and we can't comprehend how great and wonderful God is. That's as it should be. If you can figure him out, you're as great as he is. That's why we need verses like this that tell us about this, that we say, I can't understand that. But it's true, because we see from verses of Scripture that God says is true. Exodus chapter 15, it says, the Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is my strength. In Psalm 119:28, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. This next verse is very similar to the scriptures preaching. In Romans chapter 11, it says that God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. God sees into the future. God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8, it says the scripture foreseeing. The scripture had the same ability to be able to see, just like it said in that verse that the scripture preached. Psalm 63:6, it says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. We can meditate on God. We can think about God. But it also says in Psalms 119 and verse 48, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. So not only can we meditate upon God, but also upon his word. And they're almost inseparable when we do that. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it says that the Lord is a counselor. It says that his name shall be called Wonderful and Counselor. In Psalm 119 verse 24, thy testimonies are my delight and my counselor. The Bible tells us that God gives us understanding. In 1 Kings chapter 4, it says, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much and largest of heart, even as the sand that is in the seashore. So God gives understanding. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding. I'm not going to take the time to read all these. I'll just read this one verse. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 17, it says that God quickeneth the dead, whether that be physical or spiritual. Either way, God gives life. Psalm 119 and verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for the word has quickened me. It's, how can that be? God says he does it, and the next time he says the word does it. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, it says, the Lord is good. In 2 Kings 20 and verse 19, it says, good is the word of the Lord. Bible tells us that the Lord is our hope. Psalm 33:22. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Psalm 119:81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. We are told to to love God, Deuteronomy 6:5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Psalm 119:48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. We can forsake the Lord. In 2 Chronicles, it says, the Lord is with you while you be with him. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Psalm 119:53, it says, horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. So we can not only forsake God, but we can forsake his word. Acts 27:25 says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. In Acts 4, howbeit many of them heard the word and believed. So, that... I don't think this is going to work. We're never going to get through all these. The Bible tells us that Jesus can be esteemed. In Isaiah 53, verses 3 and 4, we won't read all of this, but it says there that we esteemed him not, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In Job 23:12, it says, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the word of his mouth more than my necessary food. The Bible tells us that God is faithful. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. In Titus 1:9, it says, holding fast the faithful word. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:9-10, that Christ dwells in us. It says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. It says that Christ dwells in us. In Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We are told to have respect for God. In Isaiah 17:7, it says that that day a man shall look at his maker, and his eye shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. In Psalm 119:117, hold thou me up and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ is from the beginning. John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word. There it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says the same was in the beginning with God. In Psalm 119, 160, it says, Thy Word, here he's talking about the written Word. The Word is true from the beginning, and every one of Thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Now that's one in particular that you just absolutely cannot separate. One place tells you it's the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the other one is the written Word. And they cannot be separated. In Isaiah chapter 9, in verse 6, it says, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, His name shall be called Wonderful. In Psalm 119, 129, Thy testimonies are wonderful. The Bible tells us that God can make us understand some things. In Proverbs 28:5, it says, Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. In Psalm 119:100, it says, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. Understanding comes from the Word and from God. let me see. I've already went through this and shortened quite a few. The Bible tells us that we should rejoice in God. In Luke chapter 1, verse 47, And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Psalm 119, verse 14 says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. It says that we can incline our heart to the Lord. Joshua chapter 24, verse 23, Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Psalm 119, verse 36 says, Incline my heart unto thy testimonies. We are told to consider God. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 39, Know therefore this day, and consider in thine heart that the Lord, He is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. And then it tells us we should consider His Word. Psalm 119, verse 95 says, The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. The Bible tells us that the name of the Lord shall endure forever. Psalm 135, verse 13, Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever, and thy memorial, O Lord, through all generations. In 1 Peter 1:25, which I think we've already read, it says, The word of the Lord endureth forever. In 1 Peter 1:3, it tells us that we have been begotten by God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And in 1 Corinthians 4, in verse 15, Paul says, I have begotten you through the gospel, which is the word, the preached word. In John chapter 3, verses 3 through 6, Jesus said in that section that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. First Peter chapter 1, verse 23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. The Bible tells us that we are washed from our sins by the blood of Christ in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, it says we are cleansed with the washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Jesus, while he was here on this earth, was hated by the majority of mankind. Matthew chapter 8, John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you, he said. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 29, it says that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And in Proverbs chapter 22, it says that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge? When we reject the knowledge of the Scriptures, that is the same as rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the living word. That one's almost the same. There's in Thessalonians it talks about those that despise God. And in Proverbs it says, whoso despises the word shall be destroyed. The Bible tells us that God can deliver us. In 2 Kings 17, verse 39, but the Lord your God you shall fear, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of all of your enemies. In Psalm 119, 170, it says, let my supplication come from before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. The Bible tells us that Jesus is life. John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. again, that thing of being so close that you just can't separate the two. The Bible tells us that the Lord heals. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, "See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand." In Psalm 107, verse 20, it says, "He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." The Bible tells us that God talks. Deuteronomy chapter 5 says, "Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say. Speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear and do it." Ezekiel says in chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "Hear the word at my mouth." The Bible tells us that the Lord is able to do whatever. He is able. In 2 Chronicles 25, it says the Lord is able. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus asks the question, "Believe ye that I am able?" So there we see that God says He is able. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, it says, "Now, brethren, I command you to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up." And it tells us in James chapter 1 and verse 21 that we are to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. We can be disobedient to God. In Titus 1 and verse 16, it says that they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work. In 1 Kings chapter 13 and verse 26, when the prophet had brought him back from the way, heard thereof, he said, "It is a man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord." The Bible tells us that the Lord gives instruction. "For the Lord," this is Isaiah chapter 8, "For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people." In Romans chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, "Knowest His will and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law." The Bible tells us that the Lord gives us wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6 says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." Deuteronomy chapter 4 says, "I have taught you statutes and judgments. Do them, for this is your wisdom." The Bible tells us that God is holy. In Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 26, it says, "Ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy. Who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? For the Lord our God is holy. The Bible tells us that the Word is holy in 2 Timothy 3:15, for from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. In Romans 7:12 it says the law and the commandments are holy. The Bible tells us that the Lord can be against us. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. In Zephaniah 2:5 it says, woe to the inhabitants of the seacoast and the nation of the Cherethites. The word of the Lord is against you. It says, I will even destroy thee that there shall be no inhabitant. Okay. The Bible tells us in Matthew that the Lord can give sight, that I'm not going to read all of this. In Matthew chapter 15, 30 and 31, it talks about that he made the blind to see. In Psalm 19 and verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Now, there's a difference there between a physical light and a spiritual light, but you see the comparison. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 89, that let me just go ahead and read this. It says, the Lord is a seed. He says, I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne is the days of heaven. In 1 Peter 1, verse 23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 6 that Jesus began to teach them many things. And in Jeremiah chapter 9, it says, you hear the word of the Lord. Let your ears receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters and every one of her neighbors. The Bible tells us that the power of God is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't have a reference to it. But it talks about Christ being the power of God. I didn't write the reference down.